Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Are you kidding me? We are jacked.
No, I want you to feel awful because why else would I want to record? Oh, no. No, so we are doing another cult franchise. We got, again, the Gowlin Clan.
Ooh. Hello.
Hello. I'm Erica and Mark. How are you all?
Excellent. Excellent. Happy to be here. So great to be here.
From the New World Pictures podcast, along with my partner in crime, John Mark of the Action Elite.
What's up, folks?
Yeah, John. Get it.
I'm glad we turned the car around and got you. Yeah. We were feeling really bad about that.
Turn the beat around. So we were just thinking of just, I was listening religiously to their podcast, and of course they casually were mentioning some other Dimension film franchises. Like, man, you guys are fucking reading my mind. I gotta pick your brain and ask you on here. And of course they accepted the invite. And so, it was great.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Anytime. Yeah, thanks for asking us.
So
yeah, we don't normally get to talk about movies in the 2000 era. So this is a nice change of pace.
Haven't made your way there yet.
So current.
We barely get to talk about movies so in the 90s.
Right, 90s. You barely took the surface of it. It's like, it'll be interesting when you guys get into the beginning of the home video surge. So, what in general? I don't know if you guys have answered all these questions, but like, what I knew the kinds of movies you guys reacted to, but like, when it came to vampires and everything, were they really even your thing, or were they just kind of more, I'm not really following it, but if it's a really good movie, I will give it a thumbs up or recommend. How did you format? How did you become any kind of fan of some of these various subgenres?
Well, I think at least, and I'll just speak for myself. This is Mark.
I'm just going to speak for myself.
Mark, thank you.
I'm going to speak for myself.
Stop speaking for John. Yeah. Not right.
Leave John out of it.
Yes. You're not John's lawyer. You should leave him out of this.
I will say Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula. I mean, that was, I remember loving that movie when it came out. Admittedly, I've watched it over the years and it hasn't quite held up the way that I...
John might target you now.
Well,
take that, Bram Stoker.
Well, I'm just saying there's some accents in that movie.
You know about vampires.
there's some accents in that movie that aren't quite up to snuff, but overall,
the accent work.
That's your problem.
Wow. You guys know that I nitpick all the little things.
Yeah, so. Little words, your problem.
right. But yeah, I think that probably started it. I honestly, before we did this recording, I watched the movie again, watched Dracula 2000, and I didn't remember watching it. I thought, okay, I haven't seen this one. And I popped it in about 10 minutes in. I realized, I do remember seeing this. What was the trigger that reminded me that I'd seen this? That Jennifer vitamin
Esposito.
C. No, it was that vitamin C was in it.
Yes! I was like, oh, shit,
vitamin C. Yes, I forgot.
Yes! Put a smile on your face.
What's so hysterical is I knew that name, but I didn't know if I had heard any of their music. And I remember just about anything that was playing at the malls in that age. And so it was interesting how I obscurely saw parts of it on like early morning TNT and everything, and how occasionally it would be like their Friday go-to movie. And I saw how, so again, I'm a Star Trek guy, so I knew Seven of Nine was in this, but I also knew how it had been kind of a cult movie, kind of just like some people thought it was sexy and fun. And Dimension, obviously, you know, back when Weinstein was, you know, in charge, was doing the whole kind of capitalizing on their Scream franchise. Everything had to be kind of similar.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely the Dawson's Creek Dracula.
100%. Oh, God. I wouldn't go that far. Damn.
Well, this...
I'll be there for you.
This, oh, wait. This definitely...
Oh, wait, that's Friends.
I know. I'm just saying. This sounds like that's what you're going with.
Do not let Gerard Butler hear that. He will be furious.
Well, and see, this is the other thing. Is like, I people were revisiting it back when his star was really taken off. And it was kind of interesting. I would see people post screenshots saying he was their favorite vampire. And I was like, again, I don't ever blend... Much yeah, like
fuck you, Gary Oldman.
But I mean, it has some interesting Jerry casting.
Butler, please.
It was interesting how it's like this is a weird ass cast, but it's an interesting. That's also what makes it interesting. It's Omar Epps, Christopher Plummer is Van Helsing retired. Right. Okay, so
yeah,
I would see it getting some fanfare, and it was interesting how it wasn't trying to even be kind of like. I mean, this was before Underworld, but it wasn't even trying to be like John Carpenter's vampires or Blade.
Nope.
Right.
But see,
I feel like this is more of a, like, it's really more of like a Scream holdover. At this point, they'd already done Scream 2. And yeah. I think that they were like,
even
this to me feels more like, especially not just because of the Wes Craven aspect, but it feels like that's why they had so many people like flock to this movie. The cast is so stacked, and I think they were thinking, oh, this could be another Scream, this could be another Scream franchise, you know, re-updating Dracula for contemporary.
There's some playful
times.
Moments that could easily be kind of like Near Dark or Lost Boys, how dare I compare it, but I'm just saying it's just like it's an easygoing kind of Saturday night kind of movie. It's not trying to be, it's just trying to be, it's kind of its own thing, even though it's got all these elements. I mean, there's some shots that I could have sworn almost look like some of the Dimension films, Hellraiser movies, or even Wishmaster to some extent. Just that,
sure,
I get that vibe, yeah, that atmosphere, yeah, this ancient evil being unleashed.
It has a 90s, it really feels like the 90s. It feels like deeply into the 90s, which I guess it is, shot in the 90s at least, but released in 2000. But it feels very much like a 90s horror film, which I think is why I have loved it since I watched it. I watched it before.
It didn't feel like all the other ones where it's like, let's play some Nickelback and all this other stuff.
Well, that's the thing. The score, the soundtracks is pretty, is very much in the 1990s.
Disturbed is on here, yes, and they get played in the credits.
Linkin Park. But
like, yeah, Linkin Park. But then the band that performs, I looked them up. They're even credited as like themselves, but it's like, it was kind of weird how some movies on occasion would try and still like advertising for this and try and make people think it was related. Like there was that awful Sci-Fi Channel movie, Dracula 3000, where they fight vampires in space. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It's just a shit fest with Casper Van Dien, but it's like, yeah. But yeah, no. The
shit
band
fest?
That,
how dare you, sir?
Casper Van Dien.
I love Casper Van Dien, but I'm just saying it's a rough sit. And I say that as a guy who can name his top 20 movies.
You make it sound like Casper Van Dien would just say yes to anything.
What was your first clue, my friend?
Wow. You know what? Fuck you, Gary Oldman, and fuck you, Casper Van Dien.
I know. I say this with love. Oh my God. So Monster
Magnet.
What have
we done? What have we done? John, bring us back. Bring us back.
Bring us back, you all. But yeah.
The love of Dracula 2000.
So Monster Magnet performs in this damn movie, and it's kind of wild because it's like, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, are they available? Like, can we all get together and, like, have them play at a party? I mean, I don't know.
I have vaguely heard of them, and I wasn't familiar with them. I was just like, why is this? Usually, you know, metal is so censored in the mainstream, you always wonder, were they a has-been or, you know, were they hot for a minute? You never know until you do some research. And this was years before, you know, Wikipedia and all that. So it's like, I was not familiar with them. So I was like, oh, it seems like they were just hot for a second and then disappeared.
That's the case. Really, yeah, they're the collateral damage of Dracula 2000.
Oh my god!
I thought Nathan Fillion's haircut. You're trying to break me on my own damage.
Goddamn show. Hey, careful! That's John's favorite Arnold movie. I'm kidding, but I'm just saying. I always joke that movie would have been even more interesting because Sofia Vergara was apparently, that was her first movie, and they cut her scene because it involved a terrorist taking over a plane.
Oh, wow. Oh,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, imagine what a different career she would have had when she would have broke through.
It's not good, collateral damage. She just starred topless in a detective movie with Carl Urban, so she's going cool places. So. All right. Not just playing Manny, I'm your mother.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's just get real. If I looked like her, I would be topless in everything. I'd be like, sorry, it's in my rider, no shirts. Deal with it. It's in my contract. No shirts.
Yeah. ABC had to have a long conversation with
careful using topless and BBC in the same sentence.
No, I said ABC. I said,
for her
sitcom.
Yeah.
And we did some work with her for Walmart. That would have really changed the complexity.
Walmart. Speaking of which, you can totally find these in a trilogy pack. Yeah. Walmart.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes. You're going to have to dig through the bin of other trilogy packs, but it's in there. Keep digging, you'll find it.
I got a Blu-ray of Dracula and then Dracula 2 Ascension. I did not get one with all three of them.
You didn't get all three?
No.
It wasn't a threesome.
No, it was not a three.
How sad.
I think you can get a threesome, but I got.
But he played it safe.
Yeah,
he just kept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one on one.
Congrats! I just gave this an explicit rating for this damn.
So Dracula 2.
Amazon wouldn't deliver the threesome. They wouldn't deliver it. They told me they wouldn't do it. I tried to ask nicely, but
it's just so dumb how Charles Band keeps putting his movies on there. I'm like, you know, you're gonna have to edit them and edit all the good stuff out.
Was Dracula 2 the official like start to Jason London's downslide?
Yeah. Well, no, it was not.
He was already in Sci-Fi Channel Fair, and this was kind of the beginning of that. But I just love how this is like the second group of movies. Like, they were basically filmed in Romania back to back with the Prophecy sequels, which feel so much like Omen, Hellraiser type movies. So it all blends together. This is part of the Dimension powerhouse. And
also at the same time they did Hellraiser Hellworld, Carrie Payton, his head gets chopped off in Dracula 2 Ascension. They reuse that and repurpose that fake head, and that's why he got cast into Hellworld. Nice. So they used his head in Hellworld because they were already there, so they cast him from that. And course is also based on, like, I guess a short story from Joel Swanson.
Kind of like how James Cameron's sets were reused on Galaxy of Terror and the other Corman production. So now that's cool.
Sure.
Someone's using the practical stuff.
Hellraiser Hellworld is a little hidden gem of those late stage Hellraisers.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, guys.
No, I've seen them all. But in short, I like them all except that one and the amateur one they did with the, you know, what I call the greater value Kroger version.
Then like 9 and 10, basically, is what you're saying? Like those last two?
I mean,
greater value Kroger.
Sorry, I love them all.
Oh my god, that just took me back. That took me back.
I love them all, even though cuckolding is not scary in part one. So, and even though Judgment spends too much time trying to be Saw, and then you get those plot twists which are similar to the comic books of Hellraiser. So, I mean, if anything,
that's interesting.
I'm the kind of guy who when you don't like official X-Files or Star Trek stuff, you go for movies that are similar that could easily be an episode or a sequel. You know, like so Deliver Us from Evil and the Sinister stuff, I think, is kind of a Hellraiser spinoff. Even Nightbreed, Barker's other movie, is apparently crosses over with it in the comics. So it's like, yeah, it's... There's so many other things you can kind of consider in the same vein. But no, don't get me wrong. The whole filming of Hellworld is very fascinating. And it's so wild how it was made before Saw, and yet it also feels like a Saw movie.
Yeah, it's all Pinhead torturing people and sort of being,
Matrix game.
Sort of like a slasher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wild. And we even joked about what hasn't Lance Henriksen not been killed by. He's been killed by a Pinhead. He's been killed by a screamer, an alien, and a predator. Well, not an alien technically, but you know, some version of it, and deactivated temporarily. And yeah, the Terminator. What would he be killed by?
He's done it all. He's been, you know, like, I mean, I think he was he in one of the Prophecy movies they were shooting in Romania? I think that's why he got brought into Hellworld. I'm not sure. But.
No, he was just actually, he was promised vacation or something, or he was on vacation at that time. But it's kind of what you kind of heard from Sison in one of those episodes. But yeah, it's like, it was all interesting how it all came together. And so how much money did the original make?
Original
Dracula made $54 million. It grossed.
Oh my god, are you crunching the numbers live right now, Kim?
Whoa,
33
crunching
million
the numbers.
But worldwide 47. So yeah, okay. So that's enough to merit. Okay, want a little extra money, but here we go. But
Mark,
not to mention all
Cam's really like stealing your thunder there with that live crunch. I don't know.
Don't worry.
I just feel like you need to step it up. I don't know. I don't want to be rude, but step it up, Mark. Yeah, you know? Let's get a crunch.
Be nice.
Cam, you're mentioning all the money they made off this, but you're not talking. You forget to mention all the gift cards that Dimension got from Virgin Megastore.
What? I mean,
this movie was brought to you by Virgin Records.
Seriously,
absolutely.
Sponsored by Virgin Nolans.
Yeah. The New Orleans Virgin Megastore. Yeah, they got a lot of money out of that.
That's it. If we can circle back really quickly, that is one of my favorite scenes. If I can be spoiler alert, Dracula 2000, when I guess for the first time Gerard Butler, aka Dracula, sees a TV screen and he's like, brilliant. Like, what the fuck? You've been alive for a zillion years. You never seen a TV? Give me a break.
He's never been in the 2000s.
He's never been in New Orleans.
No.
Nope.
He's never been in the
I got to give him credit to this. He could have easily hammed it up or been a stuck-up Tom Hardy or what's the other overrated British actor, you know. He could have done so many of those other versions of that. He could have even been smooth, like an Alan Rickman, Benedict Cumberbatch type. And he just chose to play it just not really straight or campy, but just kind of just like
just
playful.
Full Gerard.
Yeah, full Gerard, just playful and just like, yeah, we're going. So I think,
if I'm honest, I went on a real Gerard Butler wormhole after watching this.
Did you? Okay.
And went like full online stalker. And he's still like around Halloween time will be like, hey guys, my favorite movie, like Dracula. He speaks very highly of Dracula 2000. And I'm like, you know what?
He's a cool guy. Everyone who I know
it.
Who works
I
with him on Olympus Has Fallen said he's just very casual. And I mean, there's been people who's offered him movies on the fly and he's just like, cool, talk to my agent. We'll set it up.
Yeah. It made me. I was charmed. I was like,
"What's that, John?"
I said, "This is what got him Phantom of the Opera because Joel Schumacher saw this and immediately wanted him for Phantom of the Opera."
Oh, nice!
Oh, really?
Huh. Yep. That's one I have
really
not seen,
demo,
and I need to see Phantom of the Opera.
I haven't either.
We're big Schumacher fans, even when he's not in his best hour. Oh, but yeah. Like, we love Falling Down and Flawless, and
oh yeah, absolutely.
Time to Kill.
I saw Falling Down in a movie theater by myself, and I was the only one laughing, and I had that sudden moment of, they might kick me out of here. but
the problem is, many of these movies, is like, they were in theaters, but they just, if you were to even do it in a theater now, you would probably just get ignored. It would just be bad, and it just sucks, because it's like, if anything, the 2000s were the brink of just even more kinds of different kinds of cult movies that no one can describe unless you've seen it. And
absolutely,
I totally agree. And I think so I had actually not seen this. I don't know how I missed this. I can't even. I'm furious that I hadn't seen it until now. Like,
it got constantly talked about, and it wasn't even all that played, I don't think, all that much on those movie channels all that much.
Right. I somehow missed it, and I'm just going to say, like, I loved it from start to finish. And hilariously, I've recently watched Hackers, starring a one Johnny Lee Miller, and watching this, I just was like, I was meant to see this.
This is post Angelina Jolie relationship and then pre-elementary, and I gotta hand it off. I mean, both he and Omar Epps could have totally overacted, and they instead kind of went more for they truly believe in what they're saying. And so I'm an idiot. I couldn't remember if I had seen part one, but I used to be on various sites where I would track kill counts and other cool stuff and watch all kinds of B movies. I was a B movie for life, you know, and I saw part two and three just to see what other martial arts type movies Jason Scott Lee had done. And I was like, you know what? I shouldn't enjoy this, but this is kind of fun. I'm digging this Time Cop 2 Rapa Nui live action Jungle Book guy. Why didn't he do more? And
He does more flogging than he does any martial arts.
So like you recognize Jason London post Mallrats. I recognize Diane Neal. And I was like, where have I seen her? Oh, that's right. That's Casey from Law and Order and the GIS agent. this is her debut.
It's like her first movie, I think, was
I love her in this. She's a badass. She
Dracula 2 and 3. They shot back to back there.
Yeah, and Lucier, who John's a fan of, was responsible for all of these. Like he owned the whole deal after Prophecy Free. He got the money and John, you want to tell a funny story he had about making Prophecy Free?
I was seeing Christopher Walken, and there was one with a certain actress. He didn't say the actress's name, but somehow he managed to make her comfortable even without saying any lines in that one scene. And
the power of translation.
Right?
It's like, that's how much he loved working with Christopher Walken, because he didn't have a big ego. He was cool to work with, and that's all he said about that.
Yeah,
that's so cool, John. I'm so curious. Had you seen this movie when it first came out? Like, have you been a longtime fan?
Oh no, I saw this. I remember it was exactly October 2009 because my brother and my dad had gotten to see this the week they came out because they loved certain horror films.
Mm-hmm. So they saw it on Christmas week because it came out. Didn't it come out like December 23, 2000?
Cool. December 22nd.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Ryan, come on.
Damn it.
And they got me into this after I saw Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've been hooked into this. It's one that I've always a unique take on Dracula, and I've always found it to be creative, which I know most critics don't think. They think it's just generic.
No way. It's the first Dracula to really, really introduce leeches as a big part of the whole lore.
But it does feel like they got them.
Because Lucia said this too, that it was even mosquitoes, where he had mosquitoes drain his blood, and they would all go around making other people vampires. That was the original premise for this. Mention refused to let them do that because it costs too much money, apparently.
And they're total mosquito sympathizers.
Couldn't tell. But no, I mean, it is interesting how it's got some ballsy stuff that if anyone else did it, it just would not work because it would probably look like some other clusterfuck like the Lost in Space, you know, movie or some other kind of just movie, or just like, I don't know where you're going for. And now this is just so confusing. I'm better off watching a Roland Emmerich, you know, misfire. You know, it's just like, I don't know what's going on. But so it's interesting how he had all these ideas, but I never at one point felt like I was confused or just like there's something left on the cutting room floor. It's way better than Gods of Egypt. You know, it's not. It's not a movie.
Fuck you, Gary Oldman. Fuck you,
Gods of Egypt. And I can understand. I understand. Gods of Egypt has a Clash of the Titans kind of appeal, where everyone is now. It's a drinking game, but it's like, this is a better kind of drinking game. It's not.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not looking for the flaws in it like you were in like so many other Stallone movies and just that are just shit fests. That
Gerard Butler doesn't have sex with vitamin C on the roof of a on the ceiling of a room.
Yeah,
in Gods and Monsters, it just doesn't happen. Yeah. So. You know, I mean, what's so funny about this movie is that it kind of starts like the original Dracula novel, like the coffin being brought over by the Demeter.
Right.
And yet it's then just quickly goes into this semi-heist movie for like 2 minutes.
It quickly becomes Die Hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's so true. It does kind of have that just kind of hostage like, alien, just Predator Die Hard.
As if the Volksfrei movement had Phil from Scream 2 and Rudy from Halloween Resurrection, Deputy Stubbs from Freddy vs. Jason, and of course, Steven from That 70s Show, because that's a bold casting
move.
We
gotta hire a molester in him.
We didn't know that then. We were so innocent.
Oh, they knew. Scientology got him in the door, baby.
Oh, no.
He was hired by the Weinstein Company. Come on. Connect the dots.
Yeah, that's right.
They had we don't talk about it. We still hire you.
But. Yeah, they knew. They were simpatico on a lot of things.
Yeah, so I gotta know. I gotta interject. I have to know in true NWPP New World Pictures Podcast fashion. Yeah. I need to hear everybody's things they loved, things they hated. Damn, I start with you, my man. I need to know. Here are things you love and things you hated about Dracula 2000.
I've never been put on the spot before. So that's great, but no, that's awesome. What I love. Oh, set design, costumes, music, acting. Yeah. Surprisingly, like Jennifer Esposito.
There's some talent here.
Jennifer Esposito has been in so many forgettable movies, and I'm sorry, I have no problem with her in this role. I think this is actually a very intriguing role for her. It's just so much better.
Former Mrs. Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were married for like a couple years.
Probably because she realized, hey, Gerard's the real deal.
This is what split them apart. This is what did it.
You know, so many actors have just so many hectic things. It's like, I've never heard any of them toss this one under the bus. I think they legit knew they were making a fun genre movie. It's so much better than all the other, you know, Scream knockoffs like Valentine and Urban Legends, Two Fru Free, all that other dog shit, Venom. No, not the Tom Hardy shit fest. I'm talking the one from 05, which the Weinstein Company was like, let's cash in on Scream. Let's have a guy who has a venomous knife hunt people. It's like, because like you say, you guys have already hit the nail without even realizing you've hit the nail. It's like, it's a very fun, casual watch. And rewatching this, I liked it even more. And for whatever reason, I got it all discombobulated. This is where Rotten Tomatoes has just bastardized this as a society. I was like, I remembered, I got it mixed up with 5 other different movies. I'm not kidding. Like, I got it mixed up with all these other movies that are out around the same time. It's like, it doesn't have any of what I mistook it for. It doesn't have any crappy CGI. It doesn't have too much overblaring music. It doesn't have any forced fight scenes. There's some pretty cool action in this, and it's just casual fun. It's just, it doesn't pretend to be, you know, better than anything else. It's way better than that awful, you know, Van Helsing film with Hugh Jackman. You know, it's
definitely.
Agree. It's not trying to be like Hammer horror, even, because how can you be like Hammer? You know, it's trying to be fun, and.
Yeah, it is a dumb, fun movie. I will say
it's
that.
It's so dumb. Yeah. But it's also, it's just casual and everything. And the actors really did add some extra life to their parts, as opposed to, like you say, every other movie, it just seems like everyone's just, you know, you just want them to join the body count. You just wanted to get it over with. Mm-hmm. But yes, there were a few, like you say, Halloween moments where you're like, oh, okay, come on. But it's still, if there's any con, I might be, I don't know. I just felt like there were a few subplots that got cut out, but not to the point where it was just distracting and felt unfinished and too hackneyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm here. That's fair. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. John. I got to go to my man, John. I got to hear this.
Man.
John, things you love and things you hated.
Cam almost took all the things I love.
No, you don't get out of jail that easy. Hold on. Come on. I'm not
done yet. I've used that excuse. It doesn't work.
Trust me. I mean, the thing I've always said I loved was the twist. You find out the very end. That's why I've always said.
Yeah, there is. That is an interesting twist for a Dracula story.
Which, that's probably why a lot of people hate this movie, I would say. That's why they give it a negative review. I'm like, well, that's some bull, because
you. It's a bold swing.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I'm like.
Out of all the offensive Christopher Nolan is. Ones you're going to argue about and then still praise the movie, and this one you're going to. Oh my God. Yeah. No Sixth Sense.
I mean, besides that, I mean, like Cam said about the actors, I've always felt a lot of them did their job well, especially Johnny Lee Miller, who I wasn't even a big fan of before I saw this.
He loves hackers. He says that's a true hackers fan.
Same. I love hackers too.
But yeah, it's just something about this that I've always enjoyed. Maybe not as much as Bram Stoker's Dracula, but it's.
I mean, it's not apples and oranges, man. It's just,
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, I can't really think of much that I don't like. It's not.
I mean, it doesn't feel like a music video hack or anything is coming in doing a disorganized Rob Zombie video. It doesn't do any of that moment where you're just like. What's going on?
Well, it's interesting you keep bringing up, you know, we keep talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula because there is, I mean, because it says there Dracula 2000, it feels like we're seeing Dracula, but now in the modern context.
I'm just doing the disclaimer. So, we're not 9-year-olds who base every movie on the same level.
No.
But well, be fair, I'm at best 12 years old. In my
well, so was I. So, I just grew up, but I never...
Let's be fair to those of us who were...
The 12-year-old self of me never left. I always had that old mentality of, well, is it straight to video? Sign me up.
Right? There we go.
Yeah. I mean, we're all getting older, but I'll the 12-year-old in us never died. So,
that's right.
You know,
that's right. I love it. But you know what? Movies. You know what, John? You can have nothing that you hated. It's rare, but... I love it, and I agree with it. I'm going to Mark, flipping it to you.
Mark G.
Okay.
Mark G, things you love and things you hate.
Mark Maron. Right.
The thing, there's the thing I loved is it highlighted how awesome the new millennium was. Like,
yes.
If you're at the airport and you want to, like, go shirtless, you can. You know? Like... In the year 2000, the NTSB let news crews get right into the damaged plane and film the bodies. They don't do that anymore.
There was no police at all, like trying to keep people away from that plane.
Oh, fun fact, this was filmed in Toronto. Did you notice some familiar, now better known Canadian actors?
No.
Us? You're talking to us?
Okay, yes. So... The inspector guy, the guy who's being teased when they're questioning Esposito in the police siege, which kind of had vibes of Terminator and Halloween in that segment. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that actor. He was the main president on Amazon Prime's The Expanse. I was like, oh, nice. What an interesting early role for him.
Nice.
But yeah, I recognize just about every other actor from Stargate and X-Files reruns. Yeah. It's just like they're... It had the typical Toronto scenery, but you don't really tell compared to other ones. We're just out of the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Hashtag Camdome.
Yeah.
Sorry, just putting it out there.
I'll take it. I should register that domain before the
do it. Get it.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't look like New Orleans, but I don't know if I would say it was like, I mean, without having never been to Toronto, I don't know if I would have said, oh, that's definitely Canada.
That's clearly a Dead Zone but film set.
It was like, it's definitely not New Orleans, but the swamp being there, that river sort of being a somewhat of a dead giveaway, it felt like.
It was a Highlander spin-off.
Mark, what was something you hated, dude?
One other thing that I love really, really quick is that, you know, we're all getting older, and the 12-year-old doesn't, but we do.
I will not turn 13. How dare you?
Whatever. Some people age poorly. What this movie showed me is, like, Gerard Butler specifically showed me that sometimes you can age into an entirely new face.
Oh, no!
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or a critique.
He was in a surfing accident! How dare you! I learned that on my Gerard Butler wormhole!
You know what? Your face would change, too, if you had to deal with the geostorm. Okay, it's a totally brand new
that's
kind
true.
Of storm.
That's true.
It's a different kind of storm.
Good sir. Blast me.
Okay, thing I hated, I did think that Nathan Fillion, who his just the his
that was some hysterical trivia. This is around the time he's on Buffy playing the crooked priest, and here he is playing the priest in this movie.
Right, exactly. Totally. I was like, he seemed like the only actor in this movie that was like,
last minute.
So we're only going to shoot this one day, right? One day. You promised me one day. Let's wrap it up and get this thing over with. But, you know, I loved seeing him in the movie. I just wish there was more of him.
Saving Private Ryan as the other Ryan. So I think he was just taking whatever gig he could.
I forgot about that.
He'd actually auditioned, I believe, the director's commentary for this, Patrick Lussier, said he auditioned for the Johnny Lee Miller role, and he didn't
really?
Get it, but they cast him in this, so they really liked him, so they wanted to put him in something.
Okay. Wow, Cam Dome versus Dome.
D versus D.
I need to borrow your Blu-ray.
That's different. That D versus D is a very different thing.
That's how they're going to...
Nope. At least we're not playing D&D.
Everyone's going to understand as soon as they put on the poster. D versus D. They all going to know what that means.
Regular, baby. Are you surprised? So... I heard some Rob Zombie music, but I didn't hear Dracula.
Yeah, but it also showed that in the year 2000, white zombie bands that wanted to sound like White Zombie sounded like White Zombie.
Right.
Like you could sound, everyone had a crack at sounding like White Zombie.
It had the White Zombie influence, this movie, but no White Zombie on the actual
what song,
soundtrack.
Did any of their songs play in the trailer at least?
Did it Cam Dome? Don't flip that
That's
over
why
here.
I'm
I don't
asking.
Know.
I don't watch trailers.
I watch this for the titty count. I'm not here to tell you what songs played in the trailer.
At least you got my same mentality. I was watching anything that was violent on TV. So.
It was just one titty count. What did you hate, Mark?
Mark? I already said that.
Oh,
his face. Yeah. He doesn't like
Gerard's
face.
Ryan. Hey, Ryan, what did you love and what did you hate?
Well, personally, I love that phone that the main girl has.
It's like
because
Ray.
I had
this
I had
was before that, razors, so
yeah, Mary, her phone when she had like that landline, but that landline where you could see the innards of the phone because
that was Vitamin C's phone.
That was Vitamin C's.
Okay,
phone.
Well, okay, yeah. I had that exact same phone. So,
Alicia, you had the same phone as Vitamin C.
Well, I don't recognize her as Vitamin C. I recognize her as Master Thespian Colleen Anne.
No, you don't. No one calls her by her.
We're not allowed to call her that. We're not allowed to call her that. Okay,
obviously, you didn't watch a lot of the Amanda Show.
I did.
I sure as did, and I didn't realize that it was. Oh my god! So
I did love seeing the the Virgin Megastore, which we already talked about, but it's like, just because it's like early days, it's early days Spotify. Yeah. They had that cool thing where you could put the headphones on and you could listen to
time.
Like,
yeah.
you could listen to like 10 different albums. You'd have to choose which record. Like I had one that when I lived in Chicago, there was one across the street from where I worked. And so I used to go there on my lunch breaks and just listen to music and do. So it was a real trip back in time for that. But something I did not like, I didn't like the vampire teeth.
Interesting. Yeah. It's very underplayed because there's more attention played to the wardrobe, even the what seems to be like a mix between aliens and Doom type guns mixed with crossbows. And then there's all this other kind of sci-fi elements to it, so it's a weird mashup, but like I'm with that. It's like
Especially Jennifer Esposito's teeth. Jennifer Esposito's teeth are very weird. Mm. They're sort of at this weird angular thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if it just didn't fit those, the teeth didn't quite fit her right. Jerry Ryan's teeth feel like, look more like,
baby.
They look like better vampire teeth to
me. Drone becomes a vampire drone. I dig it.
Yeah, and wasn't she? She was still doing Voyager at that point too, wasn't she?
Yeah, the final year, baby.
Yeah. So she probably again. I feel like a lot of people.
I'm a reporter.
I feel like a lot of people were like thinking this movie was going to really catapult them. I felt like Jerry Ryan wasn't really making a lot of movies, and she was obviously squeezed this in.
She was married to an abusive congressman who she divorced 4 years later. So.
Oh. And so she had to get away from him.
But no, yes, get away from me, Mark. Oh, hi, Mark. But no, seriously, like you say, aside from Gerard's, Tommy Wiseau looking hair and Esposito's fangs, she has an interesting role in here. But I think this was around the same time she was on Bust in Public. So she was still part of the David E. Kelley factory, So I think that's just it. I think she just embraced TV and just did only movies on the side here and there. She's gone a long way. She was really awesome as that Bosch, if you haven't seen her. I've never seen her play a villain before.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I think she warmed up to this. I think, all these actors had fun with it and they were just like, hey, let the dominoes fall where they do. If they do or don't embrace it, then it is what it is. But that's interesting how, like you mentioned earlier, Gerard promotes it on his Twitter here and there every Halloween. So I think, I think everyone, it was just a fun experience to where, which is rare because most Weinstein films were pretty terrible experiences. So I think it was just a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Well, but what I was saying, trying to get back to earlier, what I was saying though about everybody, we have even brought up Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I think that was still not that far away from this. And I think that's why it was such a comparison. No. That was the previous Dracula. Like Mark brought that up earlier. For me, Dracula movies to me was like Lost Boys was probably one of the first vampire movies that I fell in love with, and Near Dark and that kind of thing.
And then Blade popularized it. It was basically the Scream, where it's like, okay, we're horror and we're fantasy and we're action.
And Blades were like vampires really took off. And
I mean,
people were like, okay, we love vampires.
But that was caught up years later. And even though they appear in the trailer, most people didn't realize, they thought, it's George Clooney from ER being a cool, assassin guy. Is like, no, it's a road trip movie that ends up becoming a vampire movie. So it's wild how they took multiple forms, like you say, and this was just kind of at the end of the litter, and it just was hot for a second and then just kind of just evaporated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people look at this, probably looked at this having had Bram Stoker's Dracula in their more recent history. And because this says Dracula in the title, they couldn't help but make that comparison. And it's not fair to make that comparison because clearly this is not trying to be that film. And this is not trying to tell your traditional vampire Dracula
what
story.
What Scriven presents Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm like, that's redundant. Whose vision is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just put his name on it like Wishmaster to get funding. And don't get me wrong, a lot of his other movies that he produced weren't so hot. But I mean, surely we got some Jen Finn's hair.
They said Dracula was Judas Iscariot. I mean, that is that is
don't
fucking,
spoiler.
That's
spoiler.
Fucking wild.
Spoiler, man.
Spoiler, man.
And he's an undead kid at the end, but no, well,
you can cut that. You can cut that if you're afraid of spoilers. But I mean, my lord, that's such a wild.
No, it's comedy gold.
it's crazy that you know that's. I mean, this is not what I'm saying. This is not Bram Stoker's Dracula. This is
something totally different. I think everyone knew that going in. There's like, okay, this, but it's hip and everything. It's modern day, so already, you know, it's just. Whatever, it's kind of like Shakespeare. No, everyone uses that word, but no one really knows what true Shakespeare is. He's been long dead. Right. It's like,
yeah, we're all just doing our version of what we think that might be. But when you guys go on to 2 and 3, like, what did you think of the end of 2?
Okay, well, shit. I want you guys to lay out the pyramid, and I'll be the interrogator. But no,
oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Bad cop left for the day. I'm going to play off your main talking points. And we mentioned the cast. Dracula just looks very bizarre in this. But would you say that's really the only negative besides ending awkwardly?
The Dracula 2000?
In part two. Sorry, I thought you...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was wondering what you guys thought. Because, yeah, I mean, part two, I think, ends super awkwardly. It's such a see you next time kind of ending that it's like, oh, it's almost sort of jarring. And it's, you know, it's got its moments, Dracula 2, Ascension. It just, the ending of it felt like, oh, okay. And it's so clearly like, we shot two movies back to back. See you next time.
Right.
So it's kind of that sort
it's
of
only
odd.
Coming out next year. So
yeah. Yeah. See it. Yeah. Come back in a year. Well, you'll finish this out. It doesn't have any sort of like ending to it. It just feels like a.
It was awkward.
Yeah.
It's got some cool fight scenes, but at the same time, it's also got some weird visions, and you're like, okay, well, this is interesting, but what does it mean? So
yeah. And it seemed to be a point in time where we were clearly using all the goodwill Craig Sheffer had built over many years to sort of say, like, well,
hey,
yeah.
Stop but, it now. He played well, a crooked cop in Hellraiser.
Yeah, I know. That's right. The thing. Like, now we were like, hey, you like Craig Sheffer, but he's a bad guy now. That's where it seemed to be like, we're going to now make him.
Erica already listed a round of enough. Yeah. But
yep.
I mean, that's just it. You do A River Runs Through It. And
right.
That's your moment in the sun. And then you make a bunch of movies with Burn Notice's Gabriel Anwar, have a kid, and then keep making all these other turbulence, Die Hard on a movie. Not on a movie, Die Hard on a plane knockoffs. And so I was like, yeah, I wasn't surprised to see him here. I keep forgetting he's in here, though, because he's just there's so many other characters in this. So I'm just, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was thinking specifically because we had seen we you know for our podcast we ranked all the Hellraisers.
Well, who was else?
So yes. so we watched Hellraiser Inferno, and Inferno he has such a like, oh, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy? And that's the same thing in Dracula too as well. Like he has that, you know, seemingly a good guy for such
a
long time.
Right?
And then all of a sudden the big twist seems to be like he's not a good guy. And to your point, you're like, but he was in, you know, A River Runs Through It. He's such a nice guy.
Like, not over his good guy image.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I feel like they're all playing on. Like, he got in all these DTV movies that are like, yeah, you think he's a nice guy, but he's not. Like, that's their big twist all the time.
What's your take on his acting? Do you think he's a little more complex here than in Nightbreed or Hellraiser, or is he more...
And Dracula too? No, he's pretty. I feel like that it's a pretty paycheck.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I forget he's in it. I was already finding Diane Neal to be a decent heroine, and Jason Scott Lee really carries it. And that's where it's confusing at first. Does it want to be like one of the Blade or From Dusk Till Dawn sequels, or does it want to be like Dracula?
Even Jason London, I feel like everyone's trying, but he's kind of half. Doing it, you know, like he's sort of like okay,
he always
seemed
awkward in a lot of these movies, and unfortunately in all his other stuff that I've seen him in lately, he never seemed to just be comfortable. And I know he had a twin brother, and so it's like I can't even tell him apart.
Oh really? I didn't know he had a twin
they would
brother.
Stand in for each other. He was a stand-in. I'm like, but that's just it. Like, is he just difficult to work with because he's just not where he wants to be anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, twins, yeah. Twins are difficult, right? Let's just say it. You heard it here first.
I'm
twins
mistaken for difficult. You, man.
There's always a tricky twin, right? Come on.
Tricky, tricky.
Like, even though his twin was a stand-in, like, their dad was like, man, I'm really proud of that one. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Well, I worked with Robert Redford, yeah. Dad. Like, well, I don't know. Your yeah. brother's also pretty great. So, yeah. You know?
Exactly.
Wait, are we talking about Jason London or...
Oh,
I'm yeah, Jason London has a twin.
Yeah.
No.
I
was still on Sheffers, so I was not making the transition.
His dad's always like, hey, Jason, I forgot how good you were in Mallrats. And he's like, no, that's Jeremy. That's Jeremy that was in that.
Nobody can tell the Londons apart.
That's right.
Fuck you.
They do look very similar.
Yeah. Well, I knew Jason London had a twin brother because wasn't his brother, was his the brother in Dazed and Confused or was that Jason?
I think this is it. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, well, maybe on certain days.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
No, it is.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're getting. You don't know who you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. You never know.
No, that sounds like something a girlfriend says. I don't know who I'm getting. Oh, shit. So, what do we like about the plot? Is it a typical mad scientist plot or is it pretty sloppy?
Which
one? Because it keeps your for Dracula 2. Yes.
For Dracula 2, I actually didn't mind it. But it definitely takes a long time to activate Dracula.
Yeah, that's kind of what I recall too. And like you say, it keeps your attention. It's energetic and it's bolting at the speed of light. But it takes you a while to just kind of realize, okay, why am I watching this? Why do I care?
Yeah, I mean, it just takes its sweet time, and it seems like everyone else, it's really more about everyone else's obsession with Dracula and the power that being a vampire can give you, but less about actual Dracula. And I feel like they were saving those kinds of things, probably budget because of budget and stuff, but they were saving that for like part three. But yeah, part two is fine. It just takes a long time. Most of the time, they have Dracula tied up for most of it. So it's, you know.
Spoiler.
Oh, stop. Who else is going to watch these movies besides us?
I was waiting for him to ascend. That's the thing. It takes a long time for him to ascend.
No. He stays in the coffin the whole time.
This ascension. When was this ascension going to happen?
The title does leave it much to be desired. Don't call it Ascension when it doesn't spend any time on that. Oh, shit. So, but would you recommend it? That's the thing, to another B-movie fanatic like yourself.
I watched both the first one and the second one. I'd already watched the first one and knew I liked it. I watched the second one. I definitely want to watch the third one.
To be recommended, stars Rutger Hauer, who was credited in the last one but did not show up, and he's third technically playing a vampire. He'd already been in the Buffy movie and he's been in a few others, definitely one where he played Dracula. That awful Argento film. Yeah.
Yeah, Dracula
3D. Let's talk about that.
How dare you say awful?
Let's not and say we did.
Oh. I mean, you've never seen a vampire become a praying mantis, so.
Yeah, but that's a Yuval concept, not an Argento concept. Come on.
Oh, I love Dracula 3D. It's so crazy. No. Like, what happened?
Love what you love, my friend, but come on.
What's John's take on Dracula 3D?
Did you even see this, John?
I'll stay away from that.
Okay, but did you at least see Dracula 3?
No, to be fair, I actually have not gotten a chance to see the sequels yet. I've been wanting to, though.
Yeah,
he has better fight scenes than this.
I definitely want to finish out the whole thing. Plus, if you have Rutger Hauer playing Dracula, I'm probably gonna.
He's very mysterious.
I'm gonna check that out.
Roy Scheider gets more to do as the priest this time.
Yeah, he only pops up a little bit in Dracula 2, and so that's which is still great.
That's how I actually knew about these. I was tracking other stuff he had done. I'm like, oh, Okay, so he's guest starred on movies. He was Frank Castle's father in The Punisher. Oh, wait. Oh, he's in these two Dracula sequels playing a priest. Okay.
Yeah, and it, I felt like, well, we maybe only get one scene, but we actually get two scenes out of him, which is pretty cool.
Yep. He's not complaining about how he was contracted to do Jaws 2. Yeah.
He took Jaws to get out of his contract with the studio. That's what he said, okay, we'll get out of your three picture deal. If he did Jaws 2.
So to think he would have been in The Deer Hunter. What a different trajectory.
I know.
Like,
why did he say no to that? I don't know what
he was
thinking.
At least it's not John Savage slumming here. Because as good an actor as John is, Savage is, you know, it's really annoying to seeing him pop up in direct video movies around this time because he just always looks out of it. Like, I know. I know.
He's just getting a paycheck.
I'm just imagining that I'm still in that POW camp. So
but yeah, like I definitely think the Dracula,
I know she's butt ass naked here. So
the Dracula,
can I just say for the record, I love the phrase butt ass naked. It's like my favorite way to
redundant, yes.
My favorite way to describe naked. Mm-hmm. Like, was he naked? No, he was butt ass naked. Oh shit. Naked?
Yeah.
It just takes it to another level.
It's like you like as if you had two butts. You may have a butt.
Oh god, ass. No.
Double butting.
You just gave this an X-Files plot twist. Chris Carter scenario. Yeah.
Man with two butts.
Oh Jesus. Starring Bruce Campbell.
And I would say that having Rucker Howard for the third one is definitely intriguing because I felt like, and I'm forgetting the guy's name, but the guy in the second one,
Jason Scott Lee.
No, who played Dracula?
Oh, yeah, Dracula. Yeah, wrong sauce.
I mean, look, he's tied up for most of it, so it's like he didn't have much to do.
And he has such weird makeup and hair.
Yeah,
and you're just like,
and all of a sudden he's blonde, and you're like, what, huh? What is happening? Like, it's not,
he
you
takes
know.
On different forms, but yeah, I mean, look. I'm sorry. When I look at it now, I just think of our pal of the show, Matt Poirier from the direct video connoisseur, is like wrong sauce, absolute wrong sauce.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it gives you a lot of respect for Gerard Butler's performance, where you're like, oh, you know what? Gerard's pretty good, man. He's pretty good.
Not bad.
You know, and no offense.
All
to
Gerard
guy,
needed but... was a sword, and how cool would it have been if he had. I don't know. There have been other incarnations of Dracula. It would have been cool had they done kind of the whole, it just, they could, there's so many other creative venues they could have gone, but yeah. I think it would have been cool had, much like Van Helsing, there's many people who take the title. It would have been cool if it had been actually more like The Prophecy or Highlander, where they all meet to basically, yeah, send each other to purgatory or just gain each other's credibility or something, some shit like that. But no, they instead went to mad scientist territory, and then next thing you know, mm-hmm. they're back to Blade, just from Dusk Till Dawn stuff, where it's like, right. Okay, we're back to hunting.
So this is where we step in, Dracula 4000, and we do it. Mm. We do it our way.
What would your plot be?
It's, well, first of all, Dracula
went to space
robot.
In 3000. So, exactly.
I mean, Dracula is a full-on robot at this point.
Absolutely.
He's a vampire robot.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. So he's a cyborg, like in Westworld. Yep. Okay, got it.
Yep. Yep. Sure. Yep.
He's a cyborg. He's obviously played by Casper Van Dien.
Yes.
And voiced by
Gary Oldman.
Yep.
Oh, I was going to say Patrick Schwarzenegger, since we can't afford Arnold. And they want to get some Terminator investors into this.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. What Casper Van Dien should not do is use his own voice. We should definitely dub over. We have to dub over his voice with someone.
Bullshit. Come on, Apes. You want to live forever?
I'm pretty sure we could get Jason London come back.
Yes! We got to get the Londons. Oh, the Londons,
both Londons
in
are in
Jesus.
It. Both you got to get them in there.
Thing yep. one and thing two.
That's right.
And you got to have Walken in there, and it's a full-on prophecy Dracula 4000.
Yes.
Produced by
Dracula
Joel Swanson.
Dracula 4, the coming of the prophecy or some shit.
Joel, I know you're listening because you're not at band practice. So I know
Oh, wait. Doug Bradley has to play his possessed cop from part 4.
Yes.
And then he turns into Pinhead at the very end.
Yeah.
That's the big reveal at the end.
Yeah, and Craig Sheppard just pops
and
out.
All those Clive Barker fans who want to all the Wes Craven estate and Barker fans, seriously, go fuck yourselves. Have some fun with these franchises. You know you secretly want to see a Versus match. I know. I know you do.
I know you do.
And be what real. If the genie from Wishmaster is at the end is how they get yes. rid of Dracula?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. I'm loving how you say this because we are actually friends with the gal who does social media, Erica Wright, for Andrew Devoff the Djinn. So
that's
done. That's, we're putting it out there. It's trademarked. I'm t-shirting it. It's yes, happening.
So. There you go.
Just because you make a t-shirt, it doesn't trademark it, Erica.
Yeah,
I'm going to be very clear.
That's how it works, Mark. Okay, don't
Wes Craven's The Telltale Heart. Presented AKA by Dracula. Clive Barker. Yes, do whatever the fuck you want. Yes, have Dracula, the Djinn, the Wishmaster, and yes, the Pinhead and his Cenobite family. And yes, hell, maybe Craig Schaefer can come back. And then be fighting his mad scientist self from both.
Craig Shepard's in. He's playing a descendant.
He can have some outrageous Plummer. Lines like, "What the hell is this? Is this Saw? What's this?"
Yeah.
Is this a bad dream? Oh God!
We have him cut his hand off just why not?
Oh God! We're gonna get an X rating, man. No cutting off of hands. Oh God!
Love We're it. Going for that X rating. Dracula the 4000 has to be
X,
the complete X.
Yeah.
Well,
or at least NC-17. You know, it's got to be hardcore.
A lot of butt-ass naked people in that.
Butt-ass. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
most God. Of the cast is butt-ass naked for the entire time because they're in.
It's like steaming.
So does Jason Scott Lee come back or does he pass? Do we get Mark Dacascos?
Well, we can bring it back in a flashback. And we should have it be sponsored by something else that doesn't exist, like sponsored by Barnes & Nobles.
It'll be set
in a Barnes & Noble.
Hey,
in the year 4000. Hey.
So Erica is going by Canon Films repertoire, where you promote that someone is in this movie, even though they're not all in the movie. So.
We only make a movie if we have a quality sponsor.
That's right. That's right. Oh, what a trip. What a journey we've been on.
That's awesome. Now, who gets to play the sheriff of the town that's overrun with vampires? Can we get Joe Don Baker out of retirement?
Ooh.
Oh, I don't think he's in retirement. I think he's
he's walking tall, baby, in his town.
I think he's in permanent retirement, Joe Don Baker.
Nope. Mitchell rides again. Give him more baby oil. It'll be Dracula, Final Justice.
Ooh, I like it.
And then we'll have Wesley Snipes do a cameo like he did on What We Do in the Shadows. Just show up. That's how you hunt vampires? Man, you guys are amateurs. I knew it.
That was
God,
great.
He is still around. I think he passed away, Joe Don Baker, man.
Wow.
I'm misinformed.
Yep. You're pulling your facts.
Michael Parks or one of those other crazy guys.
He's pulling his facts from the Erica Dome.
Yeah.
He's dead? He's alive?
Well, he hasn't made a movie in like 10 years. So, I mean,
I always thought it'd be what he missed out was doing the vampire zombie hunting spree. But hey, speaking of which, can we set this in the same town? Yeah, can we have a guy playing Rhodes from Day of the Dead?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's your go-to guy for playing crazy guys in direct-to-video movies besides Michael Ironside? Who do you want to cast as a Rhodes type?
Ooh, God.
Or is Ironside just too brilliant and he'll just say, sure.
Ooh. Ironside's so good. I mean, I would watch Ironside in almost anything.
Yeah.
Even as a butt-ass naked shirt.
Even especially if you got that.
Yeah.
And then Eric Roberts shows up and he's like, I'll be the best of the best vampire hunters.
Yeah, he's a good DTV guy as well, Eric Roberts.
You know what he does now, right?
Eric Roberts?
He reads stuff off cue cards. So what crazy thing do you want to give for him to read off a cue card?
Eric Roberts as the sheriff of the town?
Yes. What does he say that only anyone could ever read off a cue card and have to say with a straight face and not burst into Bill Hader type laughing?
He just says, "Sorry, tombstone's closed." because the town is called Tombstone.
Yes.
For see, no good reason. For no good reason.
Walken also has a readout cue card, so what will you give him to say?
Hmm.
As
oh, I'll do that. I do a great Christopher Walken impression. Oh. He'll be like,
oh, it's tough. Oh,
this one, guys. He'll be like, oh, hey, oh, I'm still alive.
Still alive. I'm still kicking, baby. Yeah.
I thought, wait, is Christopher Walken on the show?
It's just me, guys.
Oh, Erica. Oh, oh, my goodness. Wow.
It's pretty good. It's uncanny. That's amazing. It's uncanny. No one asked, but my crazy guy that I would pick would be 100% Garrett Dillahunt.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Garrett Dillahunt. He's that playing my crazy
guy. That will actually work because... Yeah. Michelle Hurd, his wife, is in all these crazy direct-to-video sequels like Wrong Turn 6 and I Spit on Your Grave Free. So, yeah, she can play the deputy. She can play the gal who's going around.
Garrett Dillahunt, that's a good call. That's a good call.
And, but, yeah, Dillahunt, yeah. Well, will he be Deadwood mode or will he be Terminator mode? What will he be?
I mean, maybe Raising Hope mode.
Oh, there you go.
He's just trying to raise a little girl. He's just trying to,
I don't know. You know?
And then he gets... Doesn't he die in No Country for Old Men as one of the deputies? No, he survives. I'm thinking someone else.
No, he lives.
He lives that.
He lives.
Oh, hey, Sheriff. God, what fresh hell did we unleash? This is great.
I mean, it's practically there, guys. The outline's basically
Writes itself.
Done. I mean,
just like
it wrote
semen.
Itself, basically.
Writes itself.
Oh, God. I think I got more than an NC-17 right now.
Oh, God. As long as Garrett Dillahunt is butt-ass naked.
My God. Can you imagine? He has the most tiny, perfect, crazy butt. And he does.
Oh, my God. How do you know? How do you know?
I don't know, but I'll find out because my pal Swass will get me on the set.
That's right. We'll get Swasson to write it.
I'm only on set for the sex scenes. Nothing else. For the naked scenes and the sex scenes.
As soon
as
they try to close the set, you
run in.
Yeah, you bust through the door.
Your production company is Sleaze Incorporated. Well, then I'm not making this unless Tara Patrick's in it.
Tara Patrick. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I want that bar back.
I have to say we've got to have Robert Bronzy in on this one.
Yes. Bronson versus the town of hell.
I'm slow clapping.
I met that dude at a convention. So nice. That was
Robert Bronzy.
Death Kiss. So there you go. He can just be playing Paul Kirschimo, but in a better movie where someone actually can hold up a camera and actually make it look like more than just a student film.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got to be in it.
Oh, he's ditched his director who put him on the map, and he's now doing all these John Carpenter-type tributes, like Assault on Prison 13 or something like that. So, yeah.
Escape from mode. Cell Block 13.
That's right.
It's a death block. Escape.
Sorry, you're right.
Cell block.
Yeah, we interviewed the director, Gary Jones. We talked to the director of that one.
Not to be confused with the Stargate actor.
Correct. That is good call. Yeah, if anyone was confused, please.
Yeah,
I think Alien Nation listed, TV that's why show. I was confused. At one point, he was merging an IMDb. I'm like, no, that's not the same guy.
Yeah, definitely not. Absolutely not.
But anyway, yes, it was a great chat.
Our chat with Gary Jones?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, he was a great guy.
He's
like
lovely.
Yeah, like so much passion for what he does, and I mean, you say what you want about Escape from Death Block 13. Like, he did so much work. Like, he was the editor. I mean, his wife was working on it. Like, he's special effects. I mean, this guy he has a love for filmmaking, and you know, obviously, he's being super scrappy about it and trying to make these movies like basically by himself. Like, he's working, saving money, shooting some more, working, saving money, shooting some more. And I don't know. As host of a podcast that talks about movies that kind of came from that sort of work ethic.
That many should listen to.
Yeah, we just really, really appreciated his just passion for what he was making.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
And so down to earth and so not like... He's completely out of, he has no ego. He was so fun to chat with.
Plus, he had a history in doing special effects, so he would be perfect for Dracula 4000. So he should.
He's gonna make it snow. It's gonna look gorgeous. Yeah,
he can
gorgeous.
Direct it. Swanson can write it. Ah, you know, Swass. We'll just hit him up and make this thing go.
The more you know, John. Have we just about made your brain explode?
Pretty much.
Yes, we exploded, John. Well, this was such a treat, like truly our pleasure to be on here and chat with you guys. You guys are a blast.
You're kidding. You guys practically, I should retire. You guys, you own the podcast. You own it now. You're stepping no down the new Cam host.
Dome. Hashtag Camdome.
That's actually my video game password on.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yes.
We're getting passwords.
That's what I was called growing up. Nice.
Awesome.
I love foreshadowing.
So thank you. You just stroked my ego. Thank you. so what do you guys got coming up next on your show?
Well, we got coming up, we have Dead Heat. We have an episode where we talk about Dead Heat.
Okay.
So that's coming up very shortly. We just did an episode on Grunt the Wrestling Movie, and we also spoke with the director, Alan Holzman, and so we will have that coming up. We also, next month, we're going to be talking, I'm not sure exactly where everything's going to fit in next month, but we will be doing probably Curfew as well.
Yeah, out of your ass.
Well, I'm just not sure where all the episodes will fall exactly, but we have lined up, we have Curfew, we have... we're going to be talking about one of the few musicals that New World Pictures ever put out. And we got another couple of interviews. So we it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Sweetness. Who's been your favorite to interview besides Gary and Tony and Randall and company? Like,
my God, don't you dare make me pick a favorite. Don't you dare. Okay. They're all my Bunyan, favorites. Battle Royal, love them all equally.
I know. My God.
How dare you.
We got to pick
surviving the game, our target. Here we go. What's going on?
It's been amazing how, like, I think we were joking with each other because we're like, we always say, like, these people are great, but that's because we haven't talked to anybody that's been really, like, a bummer or been difficult. You know, it's been really enjoyable. I'd love that we chatted with Courtney Gaines from
Children of the Corn.
Children of the Corn. That was super cool and really great. He gave some pointers. He's like,
really? That's how it was filmed? Oh, okay.
He was such a cool guy to chat with, and he's had such a great career, and so he was really, really fun to chat with.
You find a lot of them on social media, surprisingly, and it's just like you would think these guys would still be the ones who still only do, you know, fan mail by letters or what have you.
Right. But he was very open and, you know, very fun to talk with. And
but you found him online, or was he just?
No, we talked to his publicist, I think, is what we
talked to his
publicist. Yeah, that's how we got to talk to him.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like it varies, you know. Sometimes it's like, I think with Swanson, we talked to the publicist, and that's how we got a hold of him. And sometimes it's like, you know, with Tony Randall, it's just talking with Peter Atkins online, and then he turns around and says, we should talk to Tony. And we're like, we would love to talk to Tony. And then several months of negotiations happen, and then next thing you know, we actually
Tony, I'm gonna choke a bitch if you don't show up.
I think he really had to do that. Like, you know, it was
he went whole Wayne Brady on it.
It was not something that I think Tony always. I think he's very well settled into his retirement, and so
he said it. He's like, yeah, I've lost my passion for movies, but it was so funny. He was energetic enough for a guy who had his moment and then just. Was, you know, after 05, 06, he's like, the market's drying up.
Now he's learning how to play piano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're just living the good life, you know? Yeah. I mean, I, you know, it's a bummer to me that, again, he's a guy that, like I said, I don't think he ever got his due, and it would be awesome to see him do stuff. But I think he's had a career. He's done a lot of really good stuff. Certainly, and he just feels like.
Even the Fist of the North Star. I have a friend who was a big into anime. I'm like, not even close. You think that's the worst movie? No.
Yeah, I mean, it's got its moments. It's definitely, you know, it definitely feels like they were pointed in like the wrong direction, just sort of saying, we're going to make this movie based on this well-known graphic novel. It's going to be a huge hit. And You know, it's
manga, baby. Don't say that in front of those anime hotheads.
That's right. That's right. Party.
There were some Star Wars and Halloween fans. Man, they will.
That's right.
Bitch about you.
They'll come for my head for sure. But yeah, like it felt like they were just like trying to jump in on that craze, and you know, clearly they didn't. He never really got enough money to do the things he wanted to do. Like, so you watch a lot of his movies, like Ticks and stuff like that, and he's making so much out of, even though he only has a little bit of money, and like if he could have just gotten a really good shot with like a decent budget, like the guy would have just killed it, and he did kill it. I mean, Ticks and Amityville 1992, and
it's about, you know, time.
You know, he's made some really great movies post Hellbound, but it's just, you know, I think he deserved like a real serious shot at making a movie, and it just never could get out of that sort of direct TV kind of, you know, budget and zone. And but you know, he always turned in something pretty quality. You know, and, even Fist in the North Star.
And you guys have been doing a great job of just talking about the studio, going beyond even what certain books and the internet says about it. And it really is a great guide to just even just independent filmmaking in general and just what they were doing, you know, 3 decades ago. And it's, I mean, it was also hysterical how, I mean, again, you got to go about it a campy way. And so it has been cool seeing how you contrast it with what it would have been like had Roger Corman been in charge then versus now, and how it compares to those other guys like the PM and Full Moon guys.
Sure. They I mean, Charles Band learned a lot from Roger Corman. So, I mean, his whole Empire Pictures that he did, which he was selling movies based on posters and titles, that, I mean, I think he took that directly from Corman.
There's your next thing. Ask Tim Thomerson for an interview.
Oh, man. I'd love to talk about Doll Man, Trancers. Come on. We've got so much to talk about.
Probably.
But yeah, thank you for saying that. That's very nice of you. I think we definitely started out just wanting to talk about those movies and have sort of, and
everyone's like picky about film history. Some people just want to literally only do just what's been glossed over already in like DVD special features. And it's like, no, let's talk about some less talked about guys who everyone kind of knows being a video hound, but where do they disappear to? Where do they go? And some of them, like you say, are working everyday 9-to-5 jobs and nicest people ever. And others are just like still kicking, but unreachable, or just had left it so far behind they really don't really want to revisit it unless there's a convention in their town, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, we talk about what we like and love, and I talk a lot of shit about these movies, but at the end of the day, I love them, and it brings you to your people, you know? Like, we've been able to, you know, make some connections with people that we've never met, and, you know, people online, and I think that's been the coolest and most rewarding part of it. Obviously, the interviews are just, like, the icing on top.
Sure.
But connecting with, you know, listeners and just fans in general is, you know, what it's all about. It's awesome.
Well, thank you all. You absolutely own this. So
you own this. Come on.
You own down. This. Thank I own you the for podcast, having us.
But you yeah, own the you chat. Awesome.
Well, you guys are awesome.
John just plays referee.
John, you're the best.
Thank you for calling this game. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I didn't get kicked out. That was a
fair reference.
He was looking forward to it. Really, he's like, okay, you know, and I thank you guys for encouraging me to actually revisit this, because it's like, I denied myself this movie. I cannot believe I denied this. I love the sequels, but I did not. I saw this movie and it's very inoffensive. It's hardly an infamous, you know, like you say, some movies do have to just invite your drunk friends over and make them realize just how stuck up they are.
This is a great one. When we even spoke to Joel Swanson, this is one that I had watched in preparation of that. And it's definitely one I had not seen. Like, I can remember the trailer, or at least hearing that Dracula 2000 was coming out, but I did not see it at the time. And watching it, I was like, okay, I got to try and check out as many of Joel's movies as I can. And we did not get a chance to talk to him about it. And I was so angry, because boy, did I want to ask him. I wanted to ask him about this movie. Yeah. Like, I know that nobody's listening to the interview though and going, oh, when is he going to talk about Dracula 2000? Like, we wanted to talk about his New World days. We wanted to talk about like his time in Hellraiser and like obviously he had a new movie that was coming out at the time. So we had a lot on our plate, but I was like, oh man, I want to ask him about Dracula 2000 because it's such a blast. It's so fun.
Yeah.
He might show up at a panel and one of us will have to send a
form
it out. Yes.
Yeah, I hope so. Absolutely. I hope so. I would love to hear a bit of his take. He also was on the commentary for the disc, so that's nice sweet. To hear him and Patrick talk about the movie. But it's just such a fun, crazy movie, which is like it is definitely one of those undiscovered gems. To me, I still feel like it's a 90s movie, even though it says 2000, but it feels like a real undiscovered 90s gem.
Oh, totally. And if it came on just again on the movie channels on a more obscure day or even on Svengoolie, everyone would watch it. This is like,
yep.
Totally.
100%.
It's hardly an infamous that you know, you just cannot finish to where it's just like, or to where it's a poor man's room where he's like, okay, I want it to be a so bad it's good party, but it just won't let me have fun. It's not even that kind of movie. It's just fun. Just fun.
Yeah.
Yep. And F is for fun.
Not and you look at that cast and you're like, God, how did we all miss this? It's got such an incredible cast. So.
Yeah.
It's a fun one.
Oh, thank you all for being good sports. And again, bringing Chuck E. Cheese to our doorstep. More Chuck E. Cheese than Chuck E. Cheese. We bring the cheese.
That's right.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be
did
a rough
you watch
movie.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey
and I'm Zach. And we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
Greetings, friends. My name is Dean Legiro, and I'm the host of the 3324 Podcast. I invite you to join me and my lifelong friend Eric Huber to come with us as we discuss the music and movies that shaped our life. Each week, we'll pick an album or film that we really connect to, and not only give you some great info and trivia, but also discuss, debate, and celebrate what it means to us and the journey it took us on. We also look forward to hearing from you and giving us some of your picks for us to check out and discuss. I think it'll be a really fun experience, so come along with us for the ride. You can find us on your favorite podcast provider and at 3324.buzzsprout.com. Thanks for your time, and welcome to the 3324 family.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 bana.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy
at eilfm.podbean.com.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. Jacked Up Review Show.